And I'm looking forward to this message. I look forward to every message on Sunday morning because it is an honor to stand up here and to be able to open up the scriptures and share with you what God's laid upon my heart, what he's taught us through his word, and I pray that you walk away with something each and every week. Well, over the last 2 weeks, we have discussed a couple of different topics. The first one we talked about was justification. And last week, we talked about sanctification, and I hope that you did take something away from those two discussions that maybe you didn't realize before, or it was just a great reminder of this amazing truth that we have. These two doctrines are essential to our faith. Justification, that is being made right before God through faith in Jesus Christ, God sees us justified as though we are innocent. It's not that he doesn't not see our sin. He has seen our sin. He does see it, but he also sees the blood of Jesus Christ that has been applied to our lives. Then after we move from justification, we begin the process of sanctification immediately thereafter, which is being transformed into the image of his one and only Son, Jesus. And that is a lifelong process. How many of you have reached total sanctification yet? Tie my hands behind my back because no. I have not. But what happens after sanctification? What happens after God has been doing this amazing work in our life? He is creating us and transforming us into the image of his Son, Jesus. What begins to happen once that sanctification is done? Well, that is what we're going to talk about today. Now, for all of us in the state of Indiana, we know what May brings, right? What happens when May comes rolling around? Oh, we are getting ready. It's coming up here real soon. The greatest spectacle in all of racing, the Indianapolis 500. Now, you're probably going, where's he going with this? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because you see, glorification is really kind of like what we see played out in the Indianapolis 500. Hang with me, okay? So in the month of May, all of the practice begins to happen at the Speedway. They're doing all of their tests and they're preparing for race day. And when that day finally rolls around, we are going to see the greatest spectacle in all of racing. All of the drivers will have been prepared. All of their teams are standing at the pits ready to go to service the car to make it to the end of the race and hopefully be first. That's kind of like what justification or glorification is like. You see, we start out with justification. Race day comes and we're at the starting line and the white flag it goes down and all of a sudden it breaks loose and they are off. And they are driving as fast as they can. Could you imagine? Green flag. Thank you. Dang it. Completely ruined it. Man, I just blew that one completely up. The green flag goes down, and they are off. Justification. 500 miles, these men and ladies, they run this race. They are off and they are going. And guess what? There are many obstacles in their way. Other cars, debris, could be the temperature of the track. It could be tires that are blown, tires that wear out, engines that go down, and the list goes on. But what is the goal? We're going to finish this race. Eventually, that happens. Checkered flag comes out. That is right, correct? Comes out, the winner is declared, and the celebration begins. But what about everyone else? They're trying to finish the race too. And that's what we're trying to do in our walk with Christ. We are trying to finish this race. And as we finish this race strong, glorification is what awaits us. And oh man, we long for that glorification. So, do we really know what is coming our way? Do we really know what is coming our way? Now, Stacy is fantastic, and I send her these thoughts that I have of slides that we want to put up on screen, and I give her this, and I let her run wild with it. And she texts me after this. She says, "Hey, I've got this idea, but I don't want to offend anyone. What do you think about this?" And I'm like, "I like it. I like it." Why? Because you see, this is the way that the world looks at that question. What is coming our way? Well, let's get the magic eight ball out. Let's talk to people who can tell us our fortunes and our futures. Let's see what might possibly happen. How many are comfortable with the possibility of what might happen? You see, I am not a betting man. I do not like to bet because I am a sure thing kind of a guy. I want to know. I want to know. And this, God's truth, is the only thing that we can rely upon to know what is coming our way. This tells us exactly what is coming our way. You know, each stage of our Christian life, from our justification to our sanctification, has been building up to the completion of God's redemptive work. That is His plan. As a follower of Jesus Christ, I am looking forward to Him completing His work. And as God finishes His work that He has begun by transforming us into the image of His Son, we are moving closer and closer with each passing day to our glorification. And to be honest with you, I can't wait to reach the finish line, because it's going to be beyond imagination. It's going to be so good. You know, our eternal life is at stake. And this all started when we placed our faith in Jesus Christ. And it will end with our faith in Jesus Christ as we pass from this broken world into His presence that is not broken. And it will be an eternal home that we will enjoy for all eternity, with God Himself being the centerpiece. You know, it is by faith that we, what is faith? We get our definition from Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the reality of what I hope for and proof of what I do not see. Malin always asks me each week, "Hey, what do you want to put on the sign out front?" And each week I try to put something on the sign that is going to relate to the message that we're talking about on Sunday. So if you notice when you come in, it says, "Stand strong, for your redemption draws nigh." Our redemption is near. And not only is our redemption near, but our glorification is also near. You see, faith is the glue that holds our Christians' lives together. It is the very beginning of our walk with Jesus Christ. It's the thing that leads us along as we go through sanctification. And one day, faith is going to bring us home to glorification. The late R.C. Sproul, he done this great example of how what glorification looks like. And I'm not going to do exactly what he done. I would ask for 3 volunteers to come up, but I'm not going to do that. I missed my chance with the kids. But he takes one example and he puts them on one side of the stage. He says, this person is going to represent Jesus Christ, His glorified state, His perfection. This is who Jesus is. Then he calls another one of his students up and he says, now, this person is going to play Hitler. He is going to be shown as Hitler. Complete opposite of what we think of Jesus. He said, and the third person is going to be the Apostle Paul. He pulls them up and he says, now, as Paul is going through this work of sanctification along with everyone else, who's he closer to? Is he closer to the glorified Jesus, or is he closer to Hitler? And he takes this person, he starts to talk about his life and walking him over here. And he says, but you know, then we need to consider all of his sinful nature that goes along with it. And he ends up putting that person that represents the Apostle Paul right next to Hitler. Pretty powerful, isn't it? So we go, how does this play out for me? You see, as we're walking through sanctification in this life, I am chasms away from the glorified state of Jesus Christ until He finishes His work. Once he finishes that work of sanctification and he begins to call me home, I become the perfect representation of who Jesus is in his glorified state. That is what glorification is all about. That is what glorification means. And as we talk about glorification, there are many things that we think of and that we can consider that the scripture talks to us about this doctrine. What really matters? I mean, when we stop and think about it, what really matters? Now, I can stand up here and I can give you my thoughts and my opinions on what really matters, but that's not what is important. And I hope that you don't come here to listen to my thoughts and opinions. I hope that you come here to listen to God's truth. What does God's word teach us? The scripture is what teaches us about all these things, and that is the only thing that matters. So I want to start out this morning in 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5. And this is what Peter writes. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. That is what matters. We have been born again into a living hope through faith in Jesus Christ, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of your salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. That is so powerful, isn't it? We have an inheritance kept in heaven that will never spoil, fade, denigrate, nothing. It is there in all of its perfection waiting for us. Glorification is our inheritance. And we receive this inheritance when we pass from this life into eternity with Jesus. You see, he's the point, isn't it? He's it. That's what this life, this Christian life, is all about. It's all about him. You know, we make statements like, you know, I want to go to heaven. How many of you have ever said that? I want to go to heaven. But sometimes when people make statements like that, they think of heaven as this far off place, this far away perfect land. Is that what the scripture teaches us, though? We are experiencing right now, even in the midst of all of the stuff that we see going on around us, we, as followers of Christ, experience a little bit of heaven right here and right now. How? Because the perfect Son of God, who died on a cross for the sins of mankind, who said that if you follow me and repent of your sin, you believe in that I am the Son of God, you have eternal life. Not only that, but I am going to give you a promise of the Holy Spirit who's going to live inside you as the deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, you are experiencing a part of heaven right now. Amen. And that is the truth. It is the truth. Heaven is no faraway place. It is a presence that we have right here and right now. Now, make no mistake about it, I'm looking forward to the full presence of God, to be able to look and see my Savior face to face. That is going to be perfect, and I can't wait for that day. But you know what? We're set apart. And Peter tells us in 2 Peter 2:9, and I don't have that verse up here, but he says, you're going to be a living priesthood. You know, we're called to be this royal priesthood as followers of Christ. And if we think about our inheritance in the book of Numbers, the Levites were the priests of God. And the Levites, they did not receive an inheritance like the other tribes of Israel did. They did not receive their own land. You see, because God was their portion. He was their inheritance. And they were special among the tribes of Israel because God was their portion and supply. And in the very same way, God is our portion and supply to eternal life. He is more than enough for us. Now we think about what glorified means. We will have these glorified bodies. And I would hate to be Stacy to receive those text messages and emails from Scott saying, here are the slides that I would like to have. I would like to have a slide of a glorified body. Well, gee, how in the world do we pull that off? If God is our portion and supply, He's going to give us these new glorified bodies that we will have. Can you imagine not having to worry about getting enough sleep to make it through the next day? How many of you have trouble with sleep at night? My wife says, don't you dare raise your hand. How many of you have trouble with whatever it may be? How many of you have a chronic disease? How many of you are sick right now? How many of you are facing high blood pressure and cholesterol? Everybody just keep their hands up. We can go on and on and on, right? We can go on and on and on. How many of you have had accidents in the past where, you know, you've got a problem with the way that you walk? You've got a problem with your back, hip, whatever the case may be. Guess what? In heaven, all of those things are gone. Hey, yes. Amen. Man, there are going to be a couple of things that we do professionally right here and right now that in heaven we're not going to have to worry about having around, right? Sorry, Kim, you're out of a job. No problem. No problem. No more doctors, no more lawyers, no more therapists. We won't need any other preacher. All these things will be gone. But these glorified bodies are going to be perfect. Imagine that. No more worrying about what to eat. No more worrying about how I'm going to take the next breath. No more worried about how much insulin I've got to get to cover this food. No more cancer. No more none of it. It's going to be perfect. It's going to be perfect. And when we think about our glorified bodies, you know, and we think about what glorification really means, I had to go to Revelation 21, you know, and I started doing this a few years ago, writing in my Bible certain passages that I would use just so that I would make sure that I'm not using them over and over and over too much, right? And I come to this one today, and I thought, man, I used this one not too long ago, but it's been over about a year, so I'm going to say it's a win. We're going to go ahead and use it. But in Revelation 21, verses 1 through 8, John says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne say, now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eye. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things had passed away. And He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to the drink without cost from the spring of the water of living of life. He who overcomes will inherit all of this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. The cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, idolaters, and all liars, their place will be the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. I am making everything new. Doesn't that sound great? I am making everything new. A new heaven and a new earth to be experienced with God as God intended. No more sin. No more sin. There it is. Hallelujah. No more sin. It is completely done away with and gone. It has been dealt with, and eternity is going to be absolutely perfect. Absolutely perfect. How is this going to be possible? What makes living this reality for those who follow Jesus Christ true? It's not just a pipe dream. It is absolutely 100% true. Because he who is seated on the throne, he's the one that said it. I am making everything new. Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Glorification is possible only because God is sovereign and sits on his throne. And because he decrees it, it happens. He's the one who's going to have the perfect, he's the one who has the perfect plan, and his will is perfect. And that's why he told John, write these things down, because they are trustworthy and true. When we consider the newness of our eternal life to come, it's difficult for us to comprehend because we only know brokenness right now. We've never experienced this perfection yet, but it is coming, and I can't wait to find out what it's going to be like. In this life, there'll be no more death. Loved ones won't pass away, and we'll all be together and taught by our great God. No more goodbyes or see you laters. All those things are old news and not intended for our glorification. Tiredness and sickness, completely gone. Our bodies will be brand spanking new. Man, it's going to be great. All these things are great. All these things are fantastic that we talk about. But the one thing that is going to be the best, the one thing that's going to be the best, is looking at his face, into those eyes, to wrap your arms around the one who loved you enough to die for you. It should make us shudder when we think about that. But oh, what a day that's going to be. What a day that is going to be able to say thank you to our Savior. You know, when we began this morning, we started talking about this glorification, this newness that God is going to create. And if we look in Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5, then the angel showed me a river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any more curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. I love this picture that John paints for us in these verses. We've discussed already that God is the one who sits on the throne, and now we see this completed picture and what it means when John concludes the writings here in Revelation. He describes these two things and gives us life. Even in our fallen state, we don't understand what that really means and what it really looks like. You know, we need food and water to survive and to make it through the day, to make it through our life. We understand food and water. But now, here in this new heaven and new earth, we're going to receive new water and new fruit. And it's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. You know, Jesus talks to us in John 7, verse 38, early on in his gospel in John. John writes, "Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within him." As a follower of Jesus Christ, when we put our faith in him, this water of life begins to flow in us. But in the newness of our glorified state, we're going to experience this new water, this new river, and this new food that we're going to have. And it's going to taste fantastic. That water is going to quench our thirst forever and ever in our glorified state with God. And I look forward to that. There are a lot of things about glorification that are so important for us to remember today, right? Number one, glorification is coming for all those who put their faith in Christ. This is what we have to look forward to. No more curse. It is gone. No more dying or pain. No more doctors and lawyers and disease. All of it is going to be completely gone. In our glorified state, we will glorify God and see Jesus face to face. Who's not ready for glorification? I'm ready for glorification. And we believe this because God has ordained it. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their forehead. I look forward to that day. I look forward to that day. Stand strong. Our redemption draws nigh. It's coming. And oh, what a day that's going to be. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you for your absolute goodness. Father, we don't deserve any of this. This is all for you. And I pray that we, as we understand that and we take it in, that we understand that your goodness and your grace, it allows us to come to an understanding of our sin, to walk away from that sin in repentance, to follow after Jesus Christ, to believe in him and receive eternal life. And Father, that eternal life, it begins the moment that we believe and are justified. Father, that you are working your will out in our sanctification each and every day until it is time for our glorification when we are glorified state of Christ. And Lord, I just pray that we understand that. We take it in, Father, and we look forward to it. We look forward to it. But Lord, until glorification comes, I pray that we continue to walk with you through our sanctification. Father, continue to work in us. You promise that when you start a good work, you will complete it. You will finish it. And Lord, we trust you. So, Father, whatever it takes, we pray that you would just do it. We would stand strong and encouraged in you, knowing that you have nothing but our very best in store. And, Father, that best is looking towards our glorification. We give you thanks for that. We pray all these things in Jesus' sweet name. Amen.